Raise your hand if you like being part of that parade. Me too. Parades are great fun. And on Palm Sunday, we get to join one with Jesus at the center. A noisy, loud, boisterous parade into the great city of Jerusalem. And just as you and I have to use our imaginations to see ourselves all together here, crowded into this space we call the narthex, at peace with our branches and shouts of Hosanna, so we can imagine together what it would be like being part of that crowd around Jesus, that singing, dancing crowd, laying branches and blankets down on his path, caught up in the excitement as he rides down from the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem through the East Gate. Can you picture that scene with me? Can you see yourself among that throng? Feel your pulse accelerating as you lift your voice and shout your hosannas to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Imagine being there together with them, with him, this man who makes the lame walk and the blind see, this man who welcomes those who others call worthless, this man who, instead of telling children to be quiet, pulls them onto his lap and says to the grown-ups, to understand God's vision for the world, you have to see it through the eyes of these little ones. The world says, blessed are the powerful and the rich. They're getting what they deserve. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor and the outcast, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Truth be told, you didn't always understand exactly what he meant, this teacher who spoke in riddles and parables. But you knew he was on your side, which meant that God was on your side too. And even if you couldn't always track what he was saying, the glint in his eye told you that you and he were in it together, and that you mattered. So when you heard about this man, what he'd done, what he'd taught, and when you learned that he was coming into the holy city with a great crowd of disciples and followers surrounding him, and that a parade was forming, of course you want to be part of it, wouldn't you? And so would I. But here's the thing. In order for us to understand what this parade with Jesus on this side of town is really about, we have to understand a different parade that's happening on the other side of town. For the truth is, there were two parades, two processions taking place that year as pilgrims flocked to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. One with Jesus at the center, with his ragtag bunch of followers riding down the Mount of Olives on top of not one, but two donkeys. Now, how awkward would that be? A parade attended by misfits and cast-offs, ne'er-do-wells and barefooted children. And the other parade with the Roman governor at the center, Pontius Pilate, entering the city at the head of a column of imperial cavalry, trumpets blaring, banners waving, swords glinting, horse hooves pounding. Yes, we must imagine two processions that day. One a peasant procession, the other an imperial procession. One with children bearing palm branches, and a second with soldiers bearing banners of power. Pontius Pilate, whose reputation for ruthlessness exceeded even what Rome endorsed, made this trek each year from his comfortable quarters in Caesarea by the sea for one reason only, to ensure that order prevailed during the greatest of Jewish festivals, the Passover, when the population of the city swelled to many times its normal amount. Pilate's procession was not a display of Roman imperial power only. It was also a display of Roman imperial theology. According to that theology, the emperor of Rome was not simply the ruler of Rome. He was the Son of God. He was the Lord and Savior who brought peace to earth. If we are to understand the story that Matthew is telling us this morning, then we must also understand the story's counterpart. And knowing that rival story, knowing the terms under which that other procession entered Jerusalem, we can now see Jesus parade for what it is: a parody, absurd and subversive, a parade through the back door rather than the main gate, led by an unarmed man on a donkey that's been rented by the hour, attended by prodigals and snot-nosed kids. This parade of Jesus and his misfit companions parodies Pilate's presidential motorcade, and the message is clear. There is no embrace of redemptive violence, no endorsement of might makes right. Rather, quite the opposite. If Jesus is king, all pretenders need not apply. The position is filled. If Jesus is king, all potentates are dethroned, and even Pilate, sated as he is with power, will have no power over Jesus. This is how Holy Week begins. And in its costly unfolding, you and I must choose, which parade will we be joining? St. Paul, writing from his prison cell to the beleaguered community he had planted in Philippi, turned to the words of an early Christian hymn to invite them and us along the way of Jesus. He wrote, "Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. And humbling himself, he became obedient unto the point of death, even death on a cross." Many scholars believe that Paul wrote this letter in Rome about the time Nero began tossing Christians to ravenous lions. The gospel couldn't be more clear. The way of Jesus, the road to life that truly is life, must go through the cross. Let us pray. Source of life, source of hope, in Jesus you show us the path you've chosen for your Son, a path that chooses peace rather than violence, a path that claims death on the cross as the only way to resurrection and new life. Living in a time when death stalks so many, help us to see your face and experience your presence in this dark valley. And give us the assurance that nothing in all creation, no experience, no matter how grim or difficult, can separate us from your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We look with you at the families, communities, and countries around the world who are suffering greatly from the consequences of COVID-19 and its effects both on bodily health and economic well-being. As the circle of impact continues to rise and deepen, open our eyes to ways we can strengthen relationships within our households and neighborhoods and can serve others who need companionship and care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of resurrection, as many seek financial support provided by the CARES Act, stand with those who suffer now and wonder how they will feed their families. Use this stimulus package to strengthen life and bolster hope. Multiply its effects like you multiplied loaves and fishes, so that its ripples may reach far and extend deep into the lives of those who need it most. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to give you thanks for the frontline responders, the health professionals, and all those who put themselves in harm's way to provide care and to seek a path toward wholeness. Give wisdom and insight to doctors and to researchers as they seek a way to contain COVID-19 and to effectively treat it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we look with you at all within our circle here who are in need of comfort and healing, those known to us and those known only to you. We especially lift up the daughters of Bill Conant, Debbie, Connie, and Heidi, and their families in the wake of Bill's death last week from COVID-19. Help us to make good decisions about how to keep safe. Strengthen our bonds through prayer, encouragement, and creative engagement. Trusting in your love for us and for all, we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in times of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Today is Sunday, April 5th, and I'm at peace until 1 o'clock p.m. I invite you to call me if you would like, or text or email, and we can chat with one another. Know that you can also reach me both by the phone number at peace, 206-935-1962, as well as my mobile number. We want you to know that throughout this coming Holy Week, there are opportunities for services, including live stream services, as well as recorded devotions for each day of the week. You can get access to those by going to our website, www.peacelutheranseattle.org. And now, receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.